Well, good morning, church. It's good to see. If I can ask Craig and James, Mandy and Sue to come join me on stage. If those who are praying for them, there's a wonderful front row. If you would just come sit on that front row, it will just make it easier for time. So if you've been asked to pray for Mandy, James or Sue, it'd be marvellous if you could just come and put yourself on that front row. It'll... Well, I'm really excited about all of this morning. You know, just the presence of God in our worship, just to see him and feel him move amongst us. And it's great to have Nathan here as well and to hear so many things that are going on in the church. Men, do sign up. Please don't leave it to the last moment. And we're here this morning to formally recognize three of our wonderful leadership team, Mandy, James and Sue. For those of you who don't know, the leadership team are made up of elders and deacons. Elders we've had in the church for a long time, and deacons was something we at first appointed about 4 years ago, but more locally we call them pastors. And today we're recognising these three lovely people into the office of a deacon. Why now? They've been serving for quite some time. Well, Scripture says let them first serve and then be appointed. And these three have served faithfully in their role on the leadership team for at least 12 months. And today's the day that they will give vows before God. We give promises to each other, but we make vows before God. And we will lay our hands on them. And we believe that when we make those vows, because our words are powerful and we lay hands, something very significant happens in the spiritual realm. So this isn't just a nice act, yeah? This is something very real. And tangible changes, we believe, occur in the spiritual realm through the laying on of hands. Amen? Amen. So because we're a family, you're going to be able to participate. And if all works well, there'll be some words that come up on the screen. We're very much a family church. We want to include everyone. And sometimes that expression of family can be like Abba, Father, where it's very personal and intimate, like a parent. And sometimes it's Jesus, our Lord. And we approach the throne in all that awe of him. Well, this is down that end. This is very formal because it's a very real thing we're doing. So I will say some words, and church, you'll see some words appear on the screen, and you will, with all your vigor, repeat them. Won't you, church? Oh, that was really good. That was really good. So we're going to just read some scriptures out, and if all goes to plan, the words will come up on the screen. James Cook, we're recognizing you today as youth pastor. Mandy, as children's pastor, and Sue, as discipleship pastor. God calls his people to work to the work of the ministry in his church so that his love may be made visible in the world. His people may be helped to walk in the way of Christ, and the gifts of the Spirit may be fostered and released among his people. In appointing people to the biblical role of deacon or pastor, today we are making a new stage in the development and the life of that church.
And this reading comes from Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 7. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it.
This next reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Amen. Will you just come a little bit closer? I feel like you're so far away. I'd like to be close to you. In fact, I'm going to come on this side. okay, church, here's your opportunity. There is one body and one spirit, one hope in God's call.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
There is one God and Father of all, over all and in all.
To each of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
There are diversities of gifts,
but the same Spirit.
There are differences of ministries,
but the same Lord.
And there are diversities of activities,
but is the same God who works all.
And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We welcome this morning James, Mandy and Sue, on whom we are going to lay hands and to pray for their ministry in this church. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment, this morning. Lord, we just pray as we lay our hands on James, Mandy and Sue, that your anointing would manifest itself within their lives, within their ministry and within their home. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God has called you to serve as deacons in the church. God has called you to serve as deacons in this church. Are you ready and willing to accept this responsibility with both its duties and its joys? Church, are you willing that these people should serve amongst you, and will you uphold and support and encourage them in their ministry?
Lord, we believe you have established this church to be a light and witness in this community. We're called to worship you in spirit and in truth, to faithfully proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to serve one another and this community in love and in peace. Lord, we ask for your guidance and wisdom in this, for James, for Mandy, and for Sue. Amen.
Amen. We ask you now to affirm your commitment to the ministry of this church, to the truth of the gospel, and to the loving care of the people in this church, to all with whom it comes into contact with. Craig, let's lay hands on them. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, shakaraba. Jesus. 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 James, Mandy and Sue, we therefore appoint you to this role, praying that God, who anointed Jesus Christ with his Holy Spirit, may also anoint and empower you for this ministry, that you may please him and be a blessing to God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly upon you and give you peace. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and upon all that you undertake in his name for now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Jesus. Oh, Father God. Yes, clap, church. Father, we just really anoint you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love you. Love you. Love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's an opportunity for some friends now to come and pray. Can those who are praying for Sue, just come forward, just come now and come and pray for Sue.
Thank you. Sue has been a deacon for quite a long time, actually. She's been working as a deacon in the church, but today she's officially a deacon. She already demonstrates the qualities and attributes of a deacon by her organization, planning, and management skills, and also by her particular oversight for discipleship. Sue is a wise leader. She's a teacher and has the ability to solve problems in her quiet and gentle way. And she's measured as well. She's non-judgmental and always very concerned and caring for other people. She doesn't switch off her concern for others, even when she's on holiday and over the other side of the world. She's still contacting people about how they are. And we've experienced that big time. I'd like to read Ephesians 4, verse 11. It was he who gave some to be disciples, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, which Sue is, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, which is what you're working on, Sue, isn't that right? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, I've got a prayer for Sue. I want to pray. Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for how you are blessing your church and how you are continuing to build and shape the work here at Solihull Christian Fellowship. And we can see that. That's just evident, isn't it, every week. Thank you for Sue, and thank you for her special ministry in training others so that they can help people to become disciples of you. I pray that you will continue to use her, go before her, and multiply her gifts. Yes. Give her wisdom, imagination, and energy for the work involved. Guide her and direct her, particularly as she continues to lead other people in the area of discipleship. Pour generously your Holy Spirit into her life. Fill her with your love and compassion, that she will be equipped to carry out the duties that she's been appointed to fulfill. So for you, Sue, I pray that you will continue to be a hearer and doer of the word, a minister to the people at SCF, a servant of our Lord Jesus. May you be a woman of peace, of faith, and of vision, of wisdom and boldness and strength.
Yeah, I want to echo really what Olive said. We've known Sue for many years, and she's a real friend, totally reliable and trustworthy. She's a great home group leader. She leads by example. And she's a real support to Craig and his work as elder. She provides that calm, sensible voice, which we all appreciate. Sue is eminently suitable to be a discipleship pastor. She's a qualified teacher and trainer and a great organizer. And more importantly, she has a desire to serve God and the church. Jesus said these words, "Go and make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this," and this was a great promise, "that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And his commandment was to all his disciples, and that includes us. So Sue, what you're doing with others is in obedience to what the Lord's commanded. Amen. So my prayer, Lord, is that you will fill Sue with wisdom, yes, and a deeper understanding of your word. And the Lord Jesus, you will draw her closer to you in her daily walk. And Holy Spirit, you will continue to guide her in this most important role of growing disciples. We pray it will be to your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. Mandy. Those praying for Mandy, would you just come?
I am so pleased to be asked to pray for Mandy. Mandy, to me, is a really true good friend, and I just want to start reading a Bible verse. It's from Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when I was praying for Mandy, I just feel this new role, if you like, as part of what you're doing, is just like an extra step, and he wants to take you further. And all the qualities that I see in you, and, you know, I know you well, makes you more than qualified, and you have been doing this for a long time. And when I was really praying, God gave me a picture of a pair of hands that were, I can't do it with the mic, sort of like that, and that he just is going to, you use your hands to help people. You're 100% giver with people, and he will direct your hands to where to go. And it's a new role in the sense that he's pushing you. You're working with the children, but you also work already with your friends, your family, everyone around, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, you're there. But he has got a direction that he's going to keep pushing your hands, so just follow him. And if he's pushing you, just do it. The qualities that I see in Mandy is the word deacon is coming from the Greek word diakonos, which means servant. And I really feel you do serve. You do that all the time. You're a mature believer, which is what a deacon should be, a pastoral carer, an encourager, and you also give 100%. And I take it as my job to hold you back sometimes, because you do, you go there full on. But you're such a blessing. And also the qualities that you bring as a female to this role, I feel, is really special, because it complements the men as well. You know, you bring that special difference there. And you're trustworthy and faithful. In my own circumstances, when you prayed things, you're so persistent, you keep praying. You're really persistent. I don't know anyone more persistent than you. And you'll pray and pray. And I think that's a really special role. So, amen.
Thank you. Well, I've known Mandy since our boys were born. So that's 18 years, which is rather a long time. Yes. So I'm going to pray out of 2 Corinthians 9. And this is my prayer for you. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will and women will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with anyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I'm praying today, Mandy, that, Lord, you would supply all Mandy's needs, that you, God, would multiply her resources, and that we can, because of that, have expressions of thanks to you and praise. And I pray that we would be faithful in supporting you and praying for you through the whole of this experience, in these ups and downs that this role will bring. But we are praying, God, today that you will supply every need and multiply it. Amen.
And those praying for James.
Marvellous.
Hallelujah.
Right, James. Well, we first met when James came with Jordan to visit the church in Cuba. And we had, I think James had an amazing time. We had an amazing time. We were so blessed in everything that we saw and did and seeing God at work in the most amazing ways and in the most playful ways, lounging on the beach and driving through the middle of the night on a horse and cart. And it was quite extraordinary, some of the stuff that that we did see. But God was wonderful, and this man was very faithful and learnt, I felt, so much at that time, learnt to trust God. His testimonies were wonderful. I mean, to see a young man stand up and give his testimony in the church, get so excited about seeing a young man from this country was really fantastic, wasn't it? The Lord anointed the whole time, and it was wonderful, wasn't it? I mean, there was no sense of sacrifice because it was just great. The scripture, I thought, when you asked me to pray for you, I thought wisdom was the answer. If you'd like to hold that. And this is, would you believe, from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. This is rather a large but. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish disorder, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Lord, I just pray for James now that you will fill him with godly wisdom. Lord, that he will seek you at all times. He will know your presence, Lord. Lord, that we know that you're his man. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would give him that wisdom, that you would keep him on that straight and narrow path, Lord. Lord, that you'd bless all the things that he does. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, James. Thank you for asking me to pray for you. It's a pleasure. I met James. Well, I knew James since he was a little baby. Well, I saw him because he used to live down the road from me. But we didn't cross paths until much later when we came to this church, around roughly the same time in 2011-12. It's been a joy and a pleasure to get to know you since then. Really got to know you better when we went to Guyana together. I just think it's amazing that James, he just has a lot of wisdom beyond his years and just is an example actually to a lot of, I think, men that are older than him in many respects, really gracious and loving, but also you are not compromising in your convictions before God, which is amazing. I was praying this morning and I felt a sense God was saying that my righteousness will be your shield, and that, you know, prayer of a righteous man is powerful. So when you're praying for all these young people that you're helping, remember that his righteousness will be your shield and that your prayers are powerful. So Lord, I want to thank you for James. I want to honour James. Thank you for everything you've done in his life. I think we can both see the sort of journey he's brought us both on, and I thank you that I've been privileged to be a part of that with James and got to know him and shared in our journeys together. Lord, I thank you that you've entrusted the young people of this community to his care. And I just really pray, as Bruce has, for wisdom. I pray for sensitivity to the needs of young people in this community and the young people that you already lead, a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and his leading. And I just pray that he will fill you with more of his love and his grace and more just to know him so that you can impart that to the young people. I just pray your protection over him, Lord. Cover him under your blood, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Church, let's bow our heads as we just have some closing prayers.
Lord, as members together of the body of Christ in this place, we bless and receive James, Mandy, and Sue in their ministry in our church. Help us to love them, pray for them, and encourage them, that together we may grow in grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, you have given men and women as gifts to your church for the sake of your glory and for the sake of salvation of the world. Stir up in each one of us the gifts of your grace so that we may serve you and one another in humble, faithful, passionate spirit, and that our lives may be fruitful, bringing glory to your name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's give God a round of applause. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done this morning. Amen.
Amen. David, do you want to just wire Nathan up? Is that? Do you want their head mic? Yeah, you're on in a second. Yeah. You sure? So come on up. Come on. So we're really privileged to have this man with us today. Nathan is chief exec of CVM, Christian Vision for Men. And his message this morning is not just for us blokes, but it's for all of us here this morning. And I'm really excited about what he's going to bring. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that Nathan's here with us this morning. Holy Spirit, anoint him afresh now, we pray, that he might bring that Rhema word right now and stir our hearts, Lord, that we would respond to your word as Nathan brings it to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks, mate. Great. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm quite softly spoken, so can you hear me? Great. What a fantastic day to be with you, eh? That was really powerful, actually, watching that. And obviously, I'm not part of this church, I don't come every week, but part of the church family, the wider sense. Really, really powerful. What particularly moved me, and I think Sue's probably left the room, is she?
No.
Is Sue still here? Sue, what... it's Olive, isn't it? What Olive shared was so profound. And I want to encourage you to take away what she said. And when doubts come, and they will, read over that affirmation. That was so powerful. So hold on to that. My name's Nathan. I work for Christian Vision for Men. Let me tell you a bit about myself. I'm from Essex. Anyone from Essex? Oh. Normally at that point, I get the hecklers. Normally it's, oh, shut up. Yeah, so I'm from Essex. I live in the Peak District with my family. We moved up about 3 years ago. So as I say, I work for Christian Vision for Men. I'm married, my wife Jenny, for 15 years. We've got three children, aged 10, 7 and 4. I'm a bit of a details guy. I like to know information and details. My wife actually says I'm nosy. She says I'm nosy. Well, she doesn't actually say it. I read it in her diary. But, yeah, so I've been married 15 years. We have a lot of fun. My kind of story, if you like, I was a builder in Essex. I was a Christian, but it was a Sunday thing, and I was quite happy with it being a Sunday thing. And then God sort of called me out, got my attention. For a load of different events and stuff. We ended up going through Bible college, living in Brazil, where we were on site at Teen Challenge, and I worked as a chaplain for drug rehabilitation. And we had about 100 guys on site, and varying different addictions and different treatment stages. But it was a huge learning curve for me to see God on the front line, if you like, and seeing stuff really happen. So it was a very powerful time. Came back from that, led a church in Essex, and then started with CBM. Now, I wonder if I said to you, who's your hero? I wonder who your hero would be. And obviously, you probably, well, it's Jesus, it's the Apostle Paul. Mine is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Come on. At just 20, he won Mr. Olympia. I'm big into bodybuilding, as you can see. But he won Mr. Universe at age 20, Mr. Olympia, and he won Mr. Olympia 7 times. What an achievement, eh? Anyway, Arnie used to get up on stage and do his weightlifting shows, and guys would come out on the stage, and Arnie would say to them, "Hi, how are you? It's fantastic to be here." Come on. And they'd come on stage, and Arnie would say, "This is a fantastic opportunity for you. Come on, do it now." And this guy would come up, and Arnie would say, "What do you want to do?" And the guy would say, "I want to lift weights. And I want to get muscly, and I want to enter some competitions." And Arnold would say, "Sit down." And he was really cross. And he said to him, "I want you to get up and say, I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to be a champion." And he'd tell these guys to sit down. Let me read you something from Romans 8:37. "In all these things, we are more than conquerors." More than conquerors. And sometimes I have this ability to underestimate what God's going to do in my life. And maybe you do too. And I tiptoed around for years. My calling, my gifts that God's given me, my passion for the lost. And I tiptoed around it for such a long time. I didn't do anything. And a bit like Arnie calling these guys out onto the stage, I felt God calling me out saying, "Come on. Like, you're a son. You're a son of the Most High God. I've got stuff I want to do." But my head was down. "It can't possibly be me, Lord." I want to encourage you this morning. I think God's got huge plans for your life. Amen. Huge plans. And as I walked around, as Craig showed me around, I had this massive sense of your heart of love for each other and your heart and love for the lost. And that, church, is the core. That is so fundamental. To love each other, to love God, and to love and seek the lost. Because they are all around us, right? But what a wonderful message we've got. The kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. At the back there, there's some resources. I'm not really going to do a big sales pitch. I don't really do it. But there's stuff there. You can go and have a look at what CVM are producing. I might just mention this one because I've just finished writing it. But as Craig took me around, he said, "We do this thing with the ladies called Pass It On." Yeah. Pass It On. This is the bloke's version. Great. This is about mentoring, discipling men and the importance of it. And it's keys throughout the gospel, Paul and Timothy's life, that you can have a look at. It's £8, but take one for a fiver, because I love you. They're not even in the shop yet. Well, they are, actually. So I want to be this spiritual warrior. I want to be a spiritual warrior. And my church background, if you like, I was the shepherd. Because that's where we default. We do the shepherd bit really well. Gentle, nice, calm, relaxing, peaceful, loving, gracious. All those things. What about the warrior spirit? What about the warrior shepherd that we see in David? I want some of that as well as the shepherd bit. And I went to Romans 12 recently. I don't know if you've ever done this, but God speaks to you through the Bible, and you'll go to somewhere, and it will speak such clear truth into your life. The next time you read it, it don't feel quite the same, but in that moment, God just brings something. And you think, "Lord, you've spoken to me there. I'm having that." And it was Romans 12, and it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, this isn't a talk, as it's been said, just for the fellas. It's not at all. And I'm going to talk about CVM, about what we do, but that's important. But I just want to encourage you this morning that God is on the move. God is doing stuff and we're seeing it. And that's what I want to encourage you, because you can go online and Google CVM and find out much more than I can tell you. But let me just try and impart some of this stuff that God's been putting on my heart. When the Holy Spirit resides in us, we become extraordinary. Amen. We do, because of Him, because of His grace, His mercy, His influence, His power, His presence in our lives. And I underestimated that for so long. And I tried to hide it and hold on to it. And I wrestled with it. But we are called to holiness. We are called to be pleasing in the sight of God, to be living sacrifices. And we're called to be invited and brought into the very presence of God. And the work of the Holy Spirit in us, bringing us to that place, convicting us, is an incredible work. And as I've gone around the UK in the last 3 years, I've seen a few things. And it's really encouraging to hear you guys planning the bowling, and the men's stuff is on the agenda here, and that's really, really exciting and encouraging. But what I've seen across the UK is that I think there's a huge apathy and lethargy amongst men in church. That's what I'm seeing. And it's like us fellas, we've got a bit fat and bored, if I'm honest. Because I was going to church for years, and I was consuming the sermons, consuming the worship. Yeah, it was all right this week, weren't that good last week. But I weren't doing anything with it. And I just got fat and bored. And that's the truth. Not physically, you can see that's not true. I was disappointed in church. I got lost in tea rotors and putting chairs out. And I know those jobs need doing. I'm not criticising that. But I got lost in it. And I was one of the men, a statistic of men, that are in the back after church, holding on to a cup of tea, you can't get your finger through the handle. And I was talking to another bloke, how's things? Yeah, all right, mate, yeah. How's work going? Well, yeah, really well. Family, all right? Yeah. Yeah, you got any plans this week? Well, you know, it's busy at work. You know, see some friends and that, yeah. Anything going on at the moment in your life? No, just busy at work. All right, well, I'll see you next Sunday. Yeah, see you next Sunday. And the truth was, inside me is screaming, my marriage is falling apart, I need to talk to someone, but I can't get to that level. I'm struggling with sexual intimacy, and I'm struggling with issues in my life. By the way, not all these things are things I'm struggling with. I'm struggling in my work, I'm struggling with my kids. But yeah, all fine, mate. Yeah, have a good week. See you Sunday, yeah? Do you see what I mean? See the veneer, and we can create a sanitized environment where guys just, they don't get to that level. And they need to, they're desperate to. And so often we hear this said that, oh, men just can't talk. We can talk, but we need the right environments for that to happen. And we need to be really specific about how we create those environments for men to flourish. Now, this isn't about creating a male-only church. Far from it. I was talking to Graham Kendrick back, because I was really getting quite frustrated. And he said, you need to look at it like worship. Sometimes you'll sing a song that's too high and you can't hit it. Other times it's pitched too low and no one can get there. He said, what you're trying to do is hit a tuning fork so that men, women and children can worship the Lord to the fullest. That's what we're trying to do. We're calling men out to be the right sort of father to their own kids or to the fatherless society around them. 2 million homes without dad in the UK. That goes up 20,000 a year. What's our response, church? We should have one. Yes. Where are the men? There's a book back there called Founding Fathers. Have a read of that. Plug in resources. I was a grey man in church. Maybe you're a grey man. Not grey haired. I haven't got any grey hair. Not yet. But I was a grey man. And this comes from a mate of mine who was in officer training at Sandhurst Military School. And he said, become the grey man was the mantra that went through the school. Never do anything badly, but never do anything well of fear of drawing attention to yourself. And I went through church like that. Flatline. Occasionally the odd spike if I went to a men's event, heard a talk. But But I was grey. I just floated through church. Didn't want to commit. Didn't want to give. Didn't want to do anything. And God changed all that. But that's the climate and the culture that I'm seeing in church across the UK. And we say, well, why aren't the men interested? Why aren't they coming in? Because we've got to go out. You know these stats probably. There's one man to two women in church. Working classes are hugely disconnected from church. Huge generations of people that are pushed right up against the social systems in our culture, in our society, are the ones that are least likely to be in church. Church now attendance is more likely if you're a married middle-class woman in church. Men are dropping off from church too. In the age brackets 45 to 55, there's a huge drop-off of men that have been in church 10-plus years, married men. Why? It's because when dependent children in the home, 15, 16, say, oh, football's on Sunday now, Dad, I'm going to go football. Thanks for the church bit. But Dad's are saying, yeah, you know what? I'll come and cheer you on at football on a Sunday. And we're seeing a huge decline of men in church. Unpartnered, single guys. Again, huge demographic of fellas that are missing from church. And it impacts each stage, doesn't it? And this is what this Iron Men book is looking at, because I'm saying, like, there's missing generations. When I was coming up through church, I was looking at the 18-year-olds, and the 18-year-olds looking at the 30-year-olds, the 30-year-olds looking at 40-year-olds. But we're missing them. So something's got to change. There's a huge drop as well for urban males, 24. So if you look at churches like HDB in London, if you go on their website, and everything is geared around urban male 24. Have a look at the way they market, the way they resource, the way they equip and train, because there's a huge drop-off for those guys. I co-chair a group called Engage, and what we've discovered is there's 2.5 million Christian women that are saying, where are the Christian fellas then? Where are they at? And they're not there. They're not there. So we've got to do something about it, because I've got two beautiful daughters. And they're going to say, Dad, that's great you want us to marry a Christian. Where are they at? Mm-mm, not that. A little bit attitude. You can sense the attitude coming through. Mm-mm, yeah. So they're not there. So these women, 2.5 million Christian women in the UK, what are they going to do? Remain single and childless or marry a non-Christian? So the impacts keep going and going and going. And we can see this trend change. I believe we can. Here's some quite sobering stuff. Suicide, you're going to know, amongst men, is the highest it's been in a decade. Men in their prime. Men in their prime. 40-year-old men with careers, with families. It's 3 times as high as it is for women. And interesting, that's a global statistic for men. So we don't have the opportunities to talk, do we? We bottle it up, and then it just goes pop. You look across the Midlands where I'm living now and further up, you can't find a working men's club. Where are the men gathering? Where are they going to be together, to talk? And professional men, a lot of you guys here, you travel with your job, your friendship circles get smaller and smaller as you move. And we need a huge amount of encouragement, ladies, to push us out of our caves. Because I default into a cave really, really quickly. And I play darts in the darts team. My wife's like, you need to get up off the sofa and go and play darts. It's a darts night. I'm like, oh, I can't really be bothered. Oh, yeah. And when I get down there, I love it. Don't tell my wife that, but I love it when I'm down there. But sometimes I need that encouragement. But you can see suicide is high, and especially in the prison system, you can see it. A statistic came out, and Craig was talking about this. If you win a child to Christ, 3.5% of the time, the family will follow that decision. If you win mum to Christ, that jumps up to 17% that the family will follow. The statistics showed if you win dad to Christ, 93% the family will follow. Now, I don't mind how you wrap that up. I don't mind how you understand that statistic. I'm not here to talk about headship, male leadership, anything like that. But what we are seeing is when you lead a man to Christ, he radically transforms the lives of those around him. That's just what we're seeing. But then when you transpose that back into our church, setting our church cultures, and say, okay, what's invested in the children's ministry? What's invested in the men's ministry? So often it's one bloke in a church who says, I've got a real heart for men's ministry, and he'll even pay for it. He'll put on a barbecue and he'll pay for it because the church won't give any money to it. But that's the arena we're in. We're in that place and we're trying to be a gospel irritant in that place. And that's what CVM are about. When I was in Brazil, I've got to be careful of time because I can wander over. When I was in Brazil, there was a guy called Isaiah, amazing guy, and older guy, and he was addicted to drink and drugs, and he'd lost everything, 60-year-old guy. And I went with him to see his family, and as we approached, I could hear the panic in the home. They locked all the doors, and no one came out to meet him, and he's like, mate, I knew this would happen, like they don't want to know me. And like after a period of time, we worked with this guy, journeyed with him. I went back to Brazil, went to his family, took him. And to see the difference was just incredible. To see that God had restored that man in the home and in that community was amazing. And he was a real positive inspiration to his family for the Lord. So it does happen. I've got other stories I want to tell you, but time's getting on. As CVM has gathered momentum, as this movement of Christian Vision for Men is going forward, at our gathering last year, I just want to encourage you that we saw about 200 guys give their lives to Jesus. It was just awesome. So we have about 2,500 fellas there, and we just give them the gospel. We do it in a way that's right for them, but we give them the gospel. And there were guys there whose wives have been praying for them for 20-plus years. And one particular guy said, you won't believe the response my wife's going to have when I get home. She'd been praying for him, faithfully lifting him up and allowing him to make that journey himself, which is so important. So we're seeing it. We're seeing guys give their lives to Jesus. We're seeing guys respond to the gospel. There was a guy, well, there were three guys actually in the church I was at. I just want to share a story because so easily we can look and say it's not possible. And I don't know if that's you this morning, but so easy we can look and think, oh, I've been praying for this long. Like, I can't see how this is ever gonna change. When I took over this church in Essex, we started to implement some CVM stuff, just focus on the men a bit. And I met three guys, Dean, Joe, and Rich. And they were equally as mad. You know, they were just bonkers, these three fellas. Not Christians. Rich was like your typical tattoos, skinhead, fighting dogs, just ultra-aggressive. Dean was all right. He was fairly chilled out. He was just selling stolen goods from his car, and he had a sofa in his front garden. You can get a picture. Like the first meeting, first time I saw him, he was standing in the window doing star jumps in a pair of Speedos. Just weird. But that was where we were living. And then the last guy, Joe, was a scaffolder, but he had a brain the size of a planet, so ultra-intelligent bloke. And Joe, in particular Joe, his wife and the church had been praying for him for about 15 years. And gradually, as we just made faith real to these men, through this level strategy that CVM are doing, just journeying with these guys, all three of them came to the Lord. And I baptized all three of them and their wives. Like, it just blew my mind. And Joe got up in church, I didn't know what he was going to say, and through tears he was saying, pride has held me back. He said, pride held me back from doing this, but I'm following the Lord. So I pushed him right under the water. I do have a tendency to hold people under water a little bit longer. And I had warned him I was going to do it, but you get this moment from, this is such an amazing experience that this bloke's actually drowning me in public. Because I like to hold them under so they know that the old life, that's dead. You can't breathe the air above anymore. It's gone. And when they come out of the water, it's new. Amen. It's new. Amen. So that's what CVM are doing. Groups, men's groups, 500 men's groups. We resource, we equip, we train, we do men's events. But it's not about a men's club. I'm not interested in starting men's groups that just eat curry. Because curry will not save our mates from hell. They're evangelistic men's groups. We're coming together to sharpen up and to get the gospel out effectively. So how can we see this stuff happening? How long am I meant to go on for? Greg? Are you with me? Are you still awake? My gauge is Alan, you see. He's just come back from skiing and he said, look, is it right if I fall asleep in your talk? He's still with me, so we're good. So that verse I read you, how can we do it, church? And we do it together, that's the thing. It's not just the blokes that are doing the men's work. It's not. You're with them. You're all with them. We're doing it. So how do we do it? Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Now the problem with this is the path to be a warrior shepherd, a living sacrifice, is a pretty deserted path, if I'm honest. And let me tell you why, because it's hard. And there's a cost. And sometimes we don't talk about the cost. But to be a living sacrifice comes at a cost. It comes at cost because you have to stay on the altar. There's situations in my life where I say, Lord, would you work in this situation? Amen. Now I need to fix it myself. Where my marriage is going wrong, I'm saying, Lord, where are you in this? When there's money stresses, depression, when I'm drinking too much. I've got to stay on that altar and say, Lord, I've got nothing without you. I'm going to wait until you do something in my life. Living sacrifice. A broken and contrite heart. Just, Lord, I abandon everything and just hold on to you. What does that look like for you? To keep on the altar and to be a living sacrifice. I think it means keeping your heart soft to the things of God. Keep your heart soft to the things of God. Have an undefended heart with people. Let the veil down. We can create a culture of perfectionism in church, where the bloke at the front or the woman at the front, well, they've got it all sorted. I'm preaching today from a point of absolute weakness, if I'm totally honest. But absolute reliance on Christ. Amen. Nothing else. Yeah. Keep your heart undefended. We've got some guys that meet up. They do beer, the Bible, and prostrates. It's just what they want to do. But stuff that was bothering them, they call it out. Stuff they're struggling with, they just call it out. And we need more of that transparency. Be real with each other. Because the people outside of our church bubble are looking and saying, what do they really like? Let them see when the wheels come off your life. If you're broken, the place to be broken is with the church family. It really is. I know a bloke who lost his wife. A mate in Ireland, a church leader, lost his wife. And he said, I decided to lay at the front of the church and just sob. He said, I could do it at home on my own, or I could do it with my family, my church family. And they embraced him, because it's real. So be real, one another. The second thing is, get yourself up the mountain of God. I said to my wife, what do you want from me? What do you want from me as a husband? She said, I want you to be a mountaintop man. So I grew a beard. Started to be a bit wilder, yeah. She said, no, you've missed the point. She took me to Moses. Mountaintop man. Moses knew his way into the presence of the Lord. Do you? Are you a mountaintop woman? Do you know your way into the presence of the Lord? Because God invites you up there. And sometimes it don't work how you want it to work. When God called Moses up, he waited 7 days before God spoke. Went up there in the cloud and just waited. But he was up there saying, here I am, Lord. I've got no agenda. Do you know your way up the mountain? Because the important thing is when you come back down, you carry the presence of the Lord. You know it. Moses' face, it was radiant with the glory of God. People couldn't look at him. And as you go out as a church, whether it's men's work, whether it's reaching out to ladies, whether it's kids' work, What's essential is you've spent time in the presence of the living God. To be honest, it don't matter if you've got the cutting-edge resources. It don't matter. What matters if you're in the presence of the Lord and you bring that back down the mountain, and whether that's to your family, to your children, to your work colleagues, to each other in the church, that presence is so real, and it's a game changer. Moses had to cover his face, didn't he? But he built a veil, made a veil, because people couldn't look at him. Go up the mountain. I want to challenge you with one last thing. The last part of that is about not conforming and about being transformed. When stuff happens in your life, you've got a choice. You've got a choice to conform or be transformed. Because we can act and behave and react in a way that the world will understand. When you're hurt by someone, and sadly, a lot of guys are perpetrators of this hurt. When that hurt comes, you've got a choice on how you act, how you react, and how you conform. And this was the point God gave me that day in the car where I was hurting. God said, son, you've got a choice now to conform and act as the world will see you and expect you to behave, or you can be transformed and you can say, I surrender, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Transform my mind and the way I think. And that could be a minute by minute decision for some of you. Continually saying, Lord, I yield to your Holy Spirit. I will not be conformed by the way the world thinks I need to act in this situation. And the world outside will see that. They'll see it. There's this theory called the Einstein effect. I'm going to close with this. Maybe. The Einstein effect. Some real clever people have said that we form these preconceived patterns and pathways in our mind that create action and behaviour. We know that. But what's interesting about the Einstein effect is there's an easier option. There's a different option that we can't see because we're so focused on what we know about the situation, or what we've already believed about the situation. So what they did was they got loads of chess experts, like grandmasters, and they set out chess tables. One had a move that would end it in 3 moves. The other had 5 moves. None of them saw the easy option. They didn't see the 3 moves. They were all trying to discover the 5. And what these guys are saying, there's a pathway that says it can't be that easy. It has to be like this. Do you remember the prodigal son? When he's coming home, he says, I need to work this out. I need to do this, this, and this. My father will forgive me. And the father says, son, this is the Einstein effect. You're lost in the 5 move. Here's a really easy one. Let me put my arms around you, welcome you back into the home as my son. That's the easy option. Or you can just try and work it out yourself, but it won't work. Just let me forgive you and bring you back in. And actually, what I want to say over you guys and ladies as a church is it's really easy to believe things about ourselves. It's really easy to listen to voices. And that's why I was so affirmed with what Olive shared over Sue. It's so easy to carry so much negativity over our lives that cloud out the voice of God, the promise of God, the identity that he gives us as his church. And we just tiptoe around our calling, our ability to see the gospel go out or confidently see lives transform. And for guys, I think those voices are often, well, you're just a provider. Just keep providing. That's your bit. And I want to challenge you this morning to break some of that. If there's words, if there's voices that have spoken over you that have defined who you are, maybe that's time to let that go. I want to encourage you guys to join me on stage. I know it's a little bit, ooh, what's happening? I'm finished now. But guys, come on, be bold. Come stand with me. Every bloke, come on, if you can. If you do, if you really don't want to, don't. I'll tell you what's going to happen. A couple of ladies from the fellowship are going to pray over you. That's all that's going to happen. If you can't come up or don't feel comfortable to, no problem. Just these guys coming up. I've asked a couple of ladies just to share what they see and call it out over these men. Because we carry, and I'll pray for you ladies in a minute, we carry so much stuff that's not of the Lord. And just guys, as these ladies just call this out over us, just receive it. Let's just receive it.
Thank you. I love you guys. I've been really praying about you guys this week and asking God what's on your heart for the guys in our church. Just a couple of things. There's a couple of verses. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8. And you guys need to commit to get into serious training to get spiritually fit. It's good to get physically fit. God wants you to get spiritually fit. Matthew 6, verse 21. May God point out anything in your life that is becoming an unhealthy obsession. May you keep your hearts focused on heavenly treasure. God today really, really wants to release some of you guys from expectations that have been put on you. And it's such confirmation hearing what's been spoken today, because it's everything God has spoken about to me this week. So I know it's on God's heart. He wants to release you from expectations that have been put on you over the years by family, friends, or even yourself. You are strong. You are capable. You provide. You can fix it. And God wants to take that, and he wants to release you and free you from that. He says you are capable and you are strong and you do provide, but that's from me. Lean on me for your strength, not yourself. God has made you unique. He's made you men, not women, for a reason. You're brilliant. He's given you skills that we don't have. You're a blessing to everyone around you. But just remember where your strength comes from. It's not from you. It's not because of you that you are strong and you are capable. It's because of God. And God says, overall, don't try and fix this one. Let me fix it. I enable you to fix things, but actually when things are hard, don't try and fix things. It's me. You enter through my permission, not your performance. Just remember that. I just want to pray quickly. Father, I want to thank you for all these men in our church family. Thank you that they are different from the women for a purpose. They are unique. Show them, Father, what their strength is in you. May you birth in them an incredible dream and desire. Give them a desire and a fire inside for you, Jesus, and through you reach out to the broken men around them. Help them live as sons, set apart from those things of the world, and would you protect them? And Lord, would you take away those feelings of guilt and of falling short of other people's expectations of how they should be and what being a man should look like. May they have a revelation of their identity in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I came with a sword this morning, but Lucy told me I needed to put it down. It looked a bit odd, me walking around the streets with a sword. But you are called as men of the sword, men of the word. Now, I've got words there to impart to you, you know, as we're free here. So I'm the words I've got for you. Authority. You have authority. You have the authority of the word. You are brave. God has put you on this earth to be brave. So stand as men of faith. Curiosity. Do not get lost. Be curious about all aspects of your life. You are dangerous. You are dangerous, and you have the power through Jesus Christ. You've got time early in the morning, seek your maker, your creator. Be fearless as you stand before him to receive, because you will overcome for yourselves, for your family, and in our community. You are guardians of the faith. You are guardians. And be as gentle but as wise with that call. Your hearts, you've been given new hearts as you accepted Jesus Christ. Keep your hearts healthy. Intimacy. You were made for intimacy with God. And then he's given you others. First of all, a woman, and then your families. You're needed for justice. Jesus' purpose was to bring freedom for all. So seek justice, bring justice. You are kind, be kind, receive kindness. But the Lord wants you to leave a legacy. A legacy. Be aware of misogyny. It has been rife. Ripe from the fall. Check out that you have no dislike, contempt, or prejudice against the woman who was drawn out of your side. Your names are written in the book of life. Have confidence because you are chosen. Offspring. Husbands, fathers, sons. God is looking for godly offspring. It's your purpose and call to bring that offspring to God. Purity. Be pure. Check out what you're mixing your life with through your phone, the internet, your connections. And a quiver full. Do you know children are an inheritance from the Lord? Seek those children out. Invest in the younger generation. Righteousness, it's a gift. Have you received and valued that gift so that wherever you go, you bring that righteousness? You are sons and heirs. And through Jesus Christ, you have the same power at work in you that has worked in Jesus Christ. You are sons and heirs. Be trustworthy in that place. And you are unrivaled. As women standing here, often we get caught in Satan's tactics to put us against each other. We stand here, and I thank you for the privilege of being able to say, we honour you and we bless you. And forgive us if we've tried our way. And we are sorry we have been put in that place at times to have had to do it. But we want to say, this is a place where we do not want rivalry to happen. We want purity, we want union. We want that through Jesus Christ. So use your voice. You have a voice. Whether it's in your home, in your workplace, in your community, you will walk corridors of power. And Jesus has given you a voice. You are the X and Y. You are men. You are male. Be free to be men. And be yielded. Younger men, you seek out the older men. And older men, you seek out those younger men. And build one another up. And finally, be zealous about the Lord's business, about what's on his heart. Bless you each. Thank you.
Amen. Guys, let's just pray. Just bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord, you're amazing. Holy Spirit, where you work and how you work is beyond us. And Lord, we want to pray over these ladies, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, firstly, for times when we've hurt you. Forgive us. Teach us how to love how you love. Teach us how to care and nurture and tend. Teach us to be gracious. Teach us to be humble of heart. Inspire us. Keep being pioneers. Keep leading. Keep encouraging. Thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose here for this church. Lord, and it's an incredible church family. And Father, I pray for years to come that this time would be remembered like a blessing that will flow through the church to the kids that aren't in this room that are waiting to eat their biscuits. Lord, would this blessing be poured upon them? And wider, Lord, wider than that, to the fatherless in this community, to the kids that are desperate for mum figures, dad figures. Lord, would you reach out beyond what we can expect and believe. Lord, thank you for this unity. Build on it, Lord. Build your church and reach the lost, we pray. Amen. Great, thanks guys. You take a seat. Thank you for praying for us. I'm going to hand back over.